Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have back with us Walt Wilson, who is a retirement strategist, and we'll be talking today about helping business owners successfully transition out of their business. Walt, welcome back to the program.
Mike, thank you so very much for having me.
You're welcome. You know, I was just interviewing someone earlier today, and they help people get into business. And now we're going to be talking about helping people get out of their business. So this is a nice transition contrast. But start us off with what it means to transition out of business. What actually is entailed in that? And when should an entrepreneur, business owner start thinking that direction?
Mike, that's a great question. There's a lot involved in a transition of a business. There's so many factors you need to take into consideration. One of the big things is the business going to be this person's or this entity's retirement plan? Are they going to use the sale of the business for the retirement future for, you know, assets or cash or whatever it might be? You know, it's the transition period to me should start fairly soon. I would say if the business gets through, I think they say the businesses get through the rough period startup between 3 to 5 years. Have you heard that statistic?
I've heard even more. Like, it's okay. Kind of like retirement. When should you plan for retirement? As soon as possible.
Well, and I agree. That's what I agree. But you got to show some type of worth to the business to start planning for the business.
Yes.
So it's a little bit different than, starting your retirement right away. It's getting past that startup stage of your business to where it starts turning a profit and you can sleep a little bit better at night. That's when you should start transitioning about thinking for the future.
Yeah.
That's what I believe.
I agree with you. And I think another aspect of it comes into what is your or the business owner's definition of air quotes retirement, because here's what I mean by that. Maybe someone's like, I am done. I'm done with the business world. And I just want to sit on the beach and play golf and feed the birds or whatever the case is. And I am just done. And let's figure out a way to transition out of the business. But I also feel like there's some people that would go, you know, I don't want to get totally, I'd be bored. So I want to kind of work 2 days a week. So maybe my definition of transitioning is maybe being like the figurehead and maybe being on the board. And I want to like contribute a little bit, but I want to have someone else take the reins and maybe have a cash buyout with a trailing residual income, but yet still be part of it somewhat. So have you seen that in some of the clients that you work with?
Oh, yes. I believe that's very, very true. I know people that even buy, they have a business, but they also buy assets such as they own the building or the real estate.
Yep.
So then they can use that transition and collect leases or rent payments or whatever. Maybe the person who wants that space doesn't want that business, but they want that land or they want that. There's so many different ways to go with a business. And if somebody... you hear these wonder kids that develop these computer things and they get paid millions of dollars.
Yep.
How do they transition? How do they handle all that wealth all the time?
Well, I guess if we've found out about it, they don't handle it. And that's a whole different story. They blow it all. Right. And now it's like, oh, wow. You know,
so but there's different times.
You need to know.
People. Yeah. Different times, different people can have, that attitude to say, I want to go to the beach.
Yeah.
You got to make sure that if you're going to say that and you do transition your business, who are you transitioning it to?
Yeah.
I mean, are you selling to an employee? Are you selling to an outside unknown person? Are you transferring that to one of your heirs? Now, that first example you gave where I want to stay on the board and I want to be a little bit involved is more like a family transfer to somebody in the family that wants to take over the business.
Yeah.
I see that picture more often. But if the person doesn't have a big family or the family's not interested, they do an outright sale.
Sure. And you know, I guess the bottom line is, what's the answer? It's different for everybody. And it's going to be different circumstances.
Yes.
Is your business a true family-owned business? Or maybe it's not family-owned, but you've got your cousin, brother, uncle, son, daughter that would love to come into the business. So, I mean, there's all these things. I grew up with a friend of mine that his family owned like 10 or 15 McDonald's back in Virginia. And I just heard that the youngest son bought the entire thing from his dad, who's just checking out and retiring. And so he'd been working in the business for decades, but now he now is the owner of the whole conglomeration. There's so many things that are different. And I think that when is the best time to start planning for a transition? Well, it starts with knowing what you want in your retirement and when that should be. Do you want to be fully retired, or do you want to still dip your toe in the water and have a piece in it? And to me, that is almost like you, the retirement planning strategist, helping that client as kind of like a life coach, right? You're helping them make these decisions and understand the options.
Yes, we're a sounding board, hopefully, for those businesses, just to bounce those questions off us, just to sit down and have someone to talk to and hear different options or different plans. I have a lot of resources that I've partnered with over the years that can provide all kinds of resources for businesses to do this succession planning or this exit strategy planning or whatever is picking the right time. And you have to involve this business owner, if he's been successful for a number of years, more than likely has a good CPA, more than likely has a good tax person. Those become a team. And I would be involved as a good retirement strategist in that team to have a balance so that they are doing things the proper and best interest of the client's way. Yeah.
That's a really great point, because if Walt Wilson says, "I know it all, come to me," run. Because Walt does not know it all, and he can't know it all, and he shouldn't know it all.
And I don't want to know it all.
Right. Yeah.
So, well, those are very, very good points. I think one of the biggest things I see in businesses, and you mentioned earlier, it could be a family owned, but partnership businesses need to have strategy, because one of the partners may want to have another partner come in or buy out. There's LLCs that have members that may want to take over. You've got family corps, you got C corps. They don't all have to be huge corporations, but they're small. So there's a lot of variety of different entities that you have to work with, and you have to work with experts in those fields to get them resolved. The biggest problem I see, Mike, in these is where do they value their business?
Yeah.
Where do they value it? How do they get a value for the business? Just a side note, when I was in the banking industry, and a lot of small businesses would come into me and say, "I want to sell." I said, "Okay, what's the value?" "I don't know."
"Well, how are you going to put the price tag on it?"
Yeah. I said, "How are you going to ask?" And a lot of them didn't have hard assets such as buildings and stuff like that. They had equipment that's depreciated out, or they had a lot of their customer base. "Oh, my customer base is my assets." "Well, yeah, they're going to stay with you."
Right.
So,
but I mentioned McDonald's. Do you know what business McDonald's is in?
Franchise.
It's sort of a trick question, but people say franchises, people say hamburgers, but in reality, they're in the real estate business. They're like the world's largest holder of real estate, because they own the real estate, lease it to the owners of of the locations. So it's like what you just said there is like, okay, the value of my business is my clients, my relationships. That's an aspect of it, but what is it that you can hang your hat on and put a price tag on? It's got to be, like solid contracts of revenues coming in, or real estate, or things like that, equipment, right?
Yeah, but there's also, I work with a company that will come in and do a valuation of a business. They'll sit down and go through everything with that owner and value that business and get a hard value of that business, which includes their accounts receivables, their payables, all that stuff is taken in, their land, their equipment and all that. So they get a hard factor. Plus they figure in, costs over the year of what that company's produced as far as profits. So they know what that is. So knowing the value of your business will help you position it when it comes to selling it.
Yeah.
Borrowing money or passing it to your heirs. Even if you make everyday decisions about how to grow, you've got to know the value of your business to know how to grow it.
Yes. 100%. You're flying blind.
Yeah.
And guess what else? If you put a price tag on it and it sells in one day, oops, you might have priced it way too low. So you've got to know where to start.
Yeah.
So that's a really good point.
And one of the sources, CNBC, said that 78% of business owners plan to fund their retirement through the sale of their business, but only 2% know the value.
Wow.
That's scary. How do they know?
I know.
What's going on?
Ugh.
And that's
well, what. So how do you know? So let's say you're working with someone, a client that's a business owner, and they're saying to you, I need to start making a plan for transition, legacy building, transferring it to whoever. How do I know the value of my business?
We get you in touch with this company. That's the only way to do it that I know of. Okay. We use this resource, Mike, that I've got through one of my carriers, one of my strong insurance carriers, and they are very good about doing business plans and the valuations of them. So that you have that idea.
Yeah.
It's you got to make sure your business lands in the right hands, you know?
Yes.
So you've got to know, and these people are busy. I mean, these small business owners and these sole proprietors and all these entrepreneurs are very busy. They don't want to get involved in this thing. They want to put it off to the last minute of thinking of what do I do? What's the top priority? You know, what do I need to do to sell this business or transition it? The proceeds of the sale of your business may not fully fund your retirement. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Yeah, then what?
That's where permanent life insurance comes in, Mike.
Yeah. Okay. So let's now think about this. You're in the midst of helping guiding someone transition, exit their business in a nice period of time where you're not stressed and overwhelmed and you valued the business. So now you know kind of what you have to work with in retirement when, you know, will this fund it enough? Maybe there's a gap or not. Well, you know, if you're a couple, 3 years away from wanting to transition out of the business, there's only so much you can do to increase profits or whatever, but you can do that. But now where does this permanent life insurance fit into the exit strategy?
If they would have put back, let's say they've had this business for 20, 25 years. And let's say they back in the fifth year, remember that fifth year deal if the business is profitable?
Yeah.
If they started a permanent life insurance policy back then and started building that value in that cash reserve back then, plus providing the death benefit back then, when they're 3 years away, they know what they got in that cash value to know if they got enough to meet their requirement needs. If I sell my business for X number of dollars, okay, that'll carry me through these many years. And if I use my supplemental retirement plan, my permanent life insurance, that'll add on and carry me even further.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too is, I'm asking this question as an interested outsider because I don't know the answer to it. But I was talking to someone the other day who's in financial services, and they were saying that a permanent life insurance policy properly structured, when the colleges look at it for, you know, family contribution, they don't look at the value, the cash value of a life insurance policy. So it's almost like a great way to properly put in, you know, funds so that it benefits college. Well, is there any benefit that way when you're looking at valuing a business where it could be an asset, but also be a benefit in maybe some of the transition aspect as well?
Definitely. One of the things that when you enter into a buy-sell agreement with somebody that you don't know, And that's going to be, let's say, a history of payments over a period of time that they're going to have to provide you with funds until a business is paid for. Suppose all of a sudden that business starts to falter. Where do you fall back for that cash to meet your needs? You go back to that permanent life insurance policy.
Yes.
That, you can take that money out and continue to operate the business if necessary, maybe, or so that you can find another buyer, or you can make sure you cover payroll because a guy may be, you know, has all kinds of problems out there. Who knows? It's just a cash reserve for you to have to protect, number one, your family, I think, which is most important during retirement, and then to protect your other assets that you have so you don't have to drain all those to keep alive, sell off the businesses that you or your home or whatever to borrow. Borrowing when you're in retirement is harder because your income's not as steady.
Okay? Right. Yeah.
So it's a whole different ballgame when you want to go out and talk to a lender about, oh, well, I need to do this so I can do this with my business that just went under or just is having a hard time or something.
So. You know, it makes me think too, when we were talking before about using permanent cash value life insurance as some of the employee benefits to a business owner and to attract good employees, to keep good employees. If that was in place for several key employees, let's say, it seems to me that that would be almost like an asset of the company to value it even more, to have someone on the outside look at the numbers and go, okay, you've got assets, liabilities. Oh, you've got four, you know, nicely structured permanent life insurance policies for this employee, that employee. Does that give a little bit more value to a business when that is in place to an exit strategy?
Unfortunately, the way we strategize those employee key benefits are owned by the employee, not the business.
Got it. Okay.
But the business can put key person insurance on key people, a whole life policy or a permanent life insurance policy of some sort that the business owns and insures the employee. And the business is the beneficiary. That enhances the sellability of the.
So you might put that strategy in place for the employee owning the policy, and that's a wonderful benefit to the employee. They appreciate that, they feel well cared for. But then maybe one of the bullet points in the legacy exit plan strategy could be, hey, Mr. or Ms. business owner, why don't we put the same kind of policies in place for your key employees, and the business is the beneficiary? Then that lays a nice solid foundation for how the business valuation could look.
Yes, it's going to help, I think, tremendously. And it's going to give the and also it could be maybe this key employee wants to buy the business. Well,
yes,
the business owner, and you have to be careful in this, can transfer the ownership of that policy to that key employee to where they can access the cash value. But there's tax consequences. You must have a good tax piece book. That would not be a tax-free event, possibly. You have to understand the tax codes on that, and I don't. But that's why we have CPAs and tax attorneys involved in these things. There's another big thing that comes along, and this comes on transferring to heirs. If a small business may comprise a lot of assets, and suppose they reach that threshold where they got $12,060,000 in assets, and that's going to cause an estate problem if they sell it, because that then you're going to get taxed on that by 40%. So there's strategies out there that show how you can gift time or lifetime gifts to your children. One of the children want to take it over. You can give up to $16,000 a year, and a husband and wife can give up to $32,000 a year and build a life policy that kid could come in and buy out the business.
Nice. Okay.
Now, you got to be careful again on that. But there's a lot of different strategies. And now people are saying, oh, I'm not going to have $12 million in assets. But guess what? That's changes. That's a government rule at every year. And the lowest I've ever seen that's between $3 to $5 million. So it can come down in a hurry.
Yep. You might not think it today, but guess what?
In the future. That's why you plan now.
Right. That's a really good point. You know, it's kind of like, you ever heard of that place, that wonderful spot called Someday Isle? Someday I will do this. And, well, someday is going to come faster than ever. At the time of this recording, my oldest daughter just got married less than 10 days ago. And it's like, man, she was born a week and a half ago, and now she's 24 and married. So someday will come faster than you expect. And whether it's retirement or whether it's, you know, transitioning your business, I think that, you know, you look at a lot of, you hear the cliche that, you know, my business is my baby because I started from scratch. Good. Treat it like that. And since that's the case, how do you want it to continue to grow after you? Do you want to look back in a few years and go, oh man, I never should have sold it to that person, or I never should have done it that way? Well, those are factors that go into the business. And one of the things we've been talking about with making it valued at the highest possible, maybe strategically using some of these really advanced strategies of, you know, whole life policies and life insurance. Well, that's different. That's a unique twist that a lot of entrepreneurs might not have already thought about.
Yeah, I believe it's been talked about, but on a very small scale, and especially the smaller corporations, the smaller businesses might have anywhere from 10 to 100 employees. They don't use the resources that big corporations use, that big financial advisors come in and know all these things. So we're out here for, I say, the smaller entrepreneur to try to help them feel comfortable, give them a sounding board, as I said earlier. Try to let them know that I don't know everything, but we can work together as a team and we can develop a team that can get you through this situation.
Yes. That's a big point too, is like we, you know, kind of jokingly said, Walt doesn't know everything and shouldn't know everything. And you don't want him to know everything. Bring that team in, and it doesn't have to be Walt's team. It could be Walt's recommendation of one person, but then you might already work with an estate planning attorney and a CPA. Wonderful. Let's have a meeting of the minds. Let's make sure everyone's on the same page and agreeing on this strategy moving forward. And then things seem to fall into place, right?
Yes, that will give them, I think, a lot more peace of mind to have a good team behind them and a team that communicates to one another. You know, I talk to the CPA, I talk to tax attorneys, they talk to me, we put together a plan. And by the way, the companies that I work with, especially the one company I work with, they have a whole list of already legal documents for buy-sell agreements, all kinds of things, passing to heirs. They're strictly copies that we pass on to attorneys to look at, to review, to have a template to know how to structure for these businesses. So I have a huge resource there that gives these businesses, these small businesses, a little bit more of an advantage.
That, you know, and to me, that's the big thing, is you hear these big corporate strategies like we've talked about in the past, where it's like, you know, using cash value life insurance is nothing new. It's something JCPenney did, Walt Disney did, your biggest banks in the world currently do this, put their money in these kind of policies. So this is nothing new. But when you can see what big corporations are doing to exit and transition even their businesses, but you can kind of tap into that and go, well, I'm not that big, but I can do the same kinds of things. That's a really big, kind of makes you walk a little taller, right?
Yes, very much so. One other quick point, if we have a second, that I think is important. If a business owner is going to have one of their children or take over, and maybe he's got a family of, let's say, four, and one's interested in taking over the business, well, they're going to pass that on to that one child. What's the other three going to do?
Yeah.
They're going to get jealous.
Yeah, could be.
Well, dad took this and did this for this and this. Well, you've got to be careful as a parent to do what we call equalizing inheritance, okay?
Yes.
So you develop a whole life policy or a universal life policy or some permanent life insurance to benefit them. You cash that amount for them so they have an equal amount as much as possible of what the business was worth, either in death benefit or whatever. You put the death benefit on yourself as far as you're the insured and they're the owners of the policy and they're the beneficiary. So if something happens to dad, they get a large death benefit.
Yeah. And you know, equality just is so huge, and it might be with kids, it might be with employees, you know, literally,
partnerships.
Let's think about it. The word balance and the word equality. You want to make sure that what you are doing is legally, of course, but ethically and morally equivalent, equal, making sure that all your employees are treated the right way. How about the front desk person that answers the phone? They've been there for 20 years. They might not be on the org chart as high as the senior VP of whatever, but wow, when you think about transitioning out and you're looking at that bottom line and going, I need the most amount for, and make sure also, remember way back in the day, Wall Street, I think I'm thinking of the right movie, but the Wall Street with Michael Douglas, and it's like they would just come in, buy companies and chop them up and sell them and then make more money. Well, how about your employees? How about your vendors? How about the thing you built for so long? So that could be a part of the decision to go, okay, I don't have any family members that want to buy my business. So now when I'm looking at selling it to an outsider, what are they going to do with it? And am I going to care? Now, if they fully treat all the people, employees, right, but still, are you going to look back and go, yeah, I wish that those are decisions that I would say are very important that you can help guide them through, right?
Those are very hard decisions. Yes, it is. It's a very moral issue. It's a very issue that most people, businesses, are only thinking, well, I'm just going to get the money and run. Well, it doesn't affect that way. I was in the corporate world for a number of years, and I was in the banking industry, and it used to be that the tellers were the lowest paid of yep. the people, but they had the biggest PR responsibilities of anybody.
Yeah.
And I was a vice president. I didn't see as many people as my tellers did, and I depended on them to make sure my customers knew what we could do for them and what they could offer them. You're right. It has to be a moral issue, and we need to make sure that whoever buys that business, they're the ones we want to leave it in the right hands. So when you interview for someone to buy it, check out the character.
Yes. And you know, have you ever been in the grocery store and you get in one line and it looks long, so you pop over to the other line, okay, I'm going to be faster, and you find yourself looking back to the one you were just doing, going, oh, I should have. Well, whatever decision you make transitioning and exiting the business, you need to determine in your own mind, I'm not going to look back and wish I did something different, because I made the best decision for me right now, given the facts that I have, and this is where I'm moving forward. And I think that becomes a really hard thing. And that's a whole other, you know, thing that they need to consider. But it's like, you know, the word decide, when you decide to transition out, the Latin root word of the word decide is to cut off. You need to move on, cut off, and don't look back.
Yep. Don't take ownership of it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
You sold it. You gave up ownership, but walk away from it.
100%.
It's hard for people to do that.
Well, Walt, I think that there's a lot of things that go into a business owner timing and making decisions about transition and should I not, when and how. If somebody's listening to this saying, you know what, why don't we just kind of have a, you know, meeting the minds, guide me into some ways that I could start thinking about this. I'm not going to pull triggers or make announcements, but maybe just kind of, what are some things I should be doing behind the scenes? What's the best way they can reach out and connect with you and learn more?
The best way, in my estimation, is to go to my WaltWilson360.com site, and you can see all my contact information. Plus, you can add, you can take a mobile phone and just copy that stuff through my QR code,
okay,
and stuff like that. You can text me, email me, call me. Whatever you like to do, call me for dinner. You can do whatever you want. It's the best way to get a hold of me. Awesome. And I also think we provide that business as asset or business. I can't even think of what it is now, where they get a free list of things to checklist a business.
Oh, an assessment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We provide that too. So they can get assessments.
Excellent.
And write up a plan, and we can sit down. Take the time and plan. Whether you plan with me, make sure you plan with somebody to have the proper plans in place to exit your business, because you're going to protect your family. You're going to protect your asset.
Yep.
Just be careful out there today. That don't sell for a profit. Sell intelligently.
Yes. Wow. That sounds like one of those trademark statements you had to have framed on a plaque of your wall. Don't sell for profit. Sell for, how did you phrase that again?
Intelligently.
Yes. Sell intelligently. Love it. Well, Walt, as always, it's great to have you on, and you got such a unique down to earth way of explaining things. So thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Mike, my pleasure. Enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.